Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, no, it ain't that something. What we have right here, I mean, what we have to pay, it's priceless. How you get so don't try to niggas do. Bad niggas like to trip, but it's only a few. Go out and get thugs when you need him a hood. Bad niggas like to trip, but it's only a few. Go out and get thugs when you need him a hood. Some boys just grab it to get him some dab, but it's 3-2-3. We're all good, but I'm repping the hood. We're all good, but I'm repping the hood. Some boys just grab it to get him some dab, but you can't wait to bring some nigga fuck the confusion. Me, you don't want this demon. I'm a motherfucking fella, you don't want this demon. No, it ain't that something. What we have right here, 3-2-3. That's just on point. Let it crash out of the train. You don't know nothing about powder. Had to holler at the cops. Had to holler at the cops. Try to open my cut. Tell them they can hold my nuts. Gotta holler at the cops on the left tower. I don't know nothing about powder on the left tower. Some boys just grab it to get him some dab, but boy, I can't get to him, but he needed my hood. Time to go.
Born as Ricky Donnell Ross, engaged in lawful commerce beginning at the age of 12 years old, having secondary meaning under Ricky Ross, also known as doing business as Freeway Ricky Ross, as well as doing business as Rick Ross. The lawful commerce has been well documented, including but not limited to practicing and exercising the sport of tennis, in which he received sponsorship. Actively played in junior college, receiving trophies and awards for the sponsorship attained. At or around the year 1993-1994, the plaintiff appeared on a national program called Day One, moderated by national broadcast journalist Forrest Sawyer, which came on after Monday Night Football on the American broadcast channel ABC. The plaintiff also appeared on another nationally syndicated show entitled The Crusaders, which centered on tennis. The plaintiff was also employed to teach tennis. The plaintiff worked with a nationally known movie producer, George Jackson, as well as engaging in business talks with movie producer John Singleton. The plaintiff actively engaged in motivational speaking with youth and owned and operated a youth center as well as a movie theater. The plaintiff also was a well-known DJ in California and owned and operated his own record label, in which the proper paperwork was filed relating to its legitimacy. The plaintiff was an active writer and co-author of books that have been published about urban life and was diligently acting and or engaging in lawful commerce. The plaintiff has established long association of the personal name Ricky Ross, Ricky D. Ross, with the business of Freeway Ricky Ross. Ricky Ross, as well as Rick Ross, and thereby became the name of the business as such, is acquired when the name and the business became synonymous in the public mind and submerges the primary meaning of the name as a word identifying a person in favor of its meaning as a word identifying that business. The plaintiff is the original and lawful owner of a valid, protectable trademark. Secondary meaning occurs when, in the minds of the public, the primary significance of a mark is to identify the source of a product rather than the product itself. The plaintiff's former imprisonment was largely due to being initially accosted and entrapped into a drug culture in which he testified that law enforcement approached him to sell and/or distribute a narcotic. Several law enforcement were criminally prosecuted as a result of the testimony of the plaintiff, and several charges were dropped against the plaintiff as a direct result of police corruption. The imprisonment of the plaintiff was long after the plaintiff had already lawfully engaged in commerce. While in prison, the plaintiff appeared on national syndicated shows about rehabilitation and maintaining and asserting his innocence. These national syndicated shows include Geraldo, Nightline with anchorman Ted Koppel, Dateline, as well as Montel Williams' show. The validity of a trademark is to be determined by viewing the trademark as a whole. Words which could not individually become a trademark may become one when taken together. A composite geographical mark should not be dissected into parts. After the release of the plaintiff from prison, he immediately resumed in lawful commerce. It is a criminal offense, a federal criminal offense, for a person to use someone's trademark knowingly. After the imprisonment, he lawfully commerced. He engaged in commerce he had initially done, commencing at the age of 12. Currently, world-renowned movie director and writer Nick Cassavetes is working directly with the plaintiff on a bio of the life of the plaintiff. The plaintiff, in addition, has numerous pending productions relating directly to his name, likeness, and image. The defendant, William Roberts II, having no history and or affiliation with the plaintiff, no lifestyle in any capacity, like, similar, or near the plaintiff, yet has counterfeited the life and styles of the plaintiff and has knowingly infringed and falsely designated the origin of his claim, as well as attempted to unlawfully, deceitfully, for commercial use, dilute the image and service of the plaintiff. William Roberts II's dilution of the trademark infringement adversely purports to be an image and lifestyle that the plaintiff is no longer associated with. The defendant continues to attempt to blur and tarnish the proper, lawful, and good service that the plaintiff is actively engaging in now. The Trademark Dilution Revision Act of 2006 was signed into law on October 6, 2006. The Trademark Dilution Revision Act amends Section 43, Subsection C of the Lanham Act, 15 U.S.C. Section 1125, Subsection C, to allow any owner of a famous trademark to assert a claim based on a likelihood of dilution. Pursuant to this act, subject to the principles of equity, the owner of a famous mark that is distinctive inherently or through acquired distinctiveness shall be entitled to an injunction against another person who, at any time after the owner's mark has become famous, commences use of a mark or trade name in commerce that is likely to cause dilution by blurring or dilution by tarnishment of the famous mark, regardless of the presence or absence of actual or likely confusion or of competition of the actual economic injury. The defendant continues to commit such acts and has done so in bad faith, contrary to the Federal Trademark Act. Contrary to the Federal Trademark Act. The defendant Roberts has continued to use Rick Ross fraudulently and with intent to deceive and confuse the origins and service as well as source of the plaintiff for personal profit in commerce. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has repeatedly denied to defendant Leonard Roberts, trademark rights to use the name Rick Ross in trade. Good evening, everyone. What I have just read to you were some of the pleadings of the appeal, the appellate process in which the real Rick Ross has stated his position. I'm sure a lot of people are aware who the real Rick Ross is. And tonight we're talking with the real Rick Ross. If you listen diligently to what I have stated in that pleading, in his suit, you'll see that Mr. Freeway Ricky Ross was very active in his community and was victimized, and now he's been treated as a villain in this dope gang. There was a recording played in federal court, and it went something to the effect that, "I hate niggers, but they got the money." Those were the words of the kingpin, who was an informant for the CIA, who accosted Mr. Ross, and this man was not a citizen. This man virtually walked away scot-free. Ricky Ross, who is a citizen, who received a harsh sentence, did a lot of time based on being a pawn. So please allow me to introduce my guest of the evening. Just a minute.
Hello.
How you doing, Rick?
I'm good. And yourself?
All right.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you.
Yes. I enjoyed the way you represented the case on paper.
Okay. Appreciate it. You know, I'm
just as sad that the federal system is not as liberal.
Can you turn your radio down in the background, or, you know, we're getting a little bit of feedback, so I don't know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got it.
I don't know if a lot of people are aware, you know, that the CIA is the only branch of government that does not have to account to how much funds they use in their proceeds or what have you. And they answer directly from the president. They get their orders president or the National Security Council. And back in the 80s, that president was Ronald Reagan. You know?
Exactly.
So Reaganomics was really, really something back then. You know, I was a minor. I was a child, a baby, whatever. You know, but old enough to know now the in-depthness of a lot of different things that he had done. And so a lot of people think that, you know, who are not aware of the situation offhand, think this is just some situation in which you're dealing with a rapper who wants to use your name. You know, a lot of people aren't aware that, you know, you've been through a lot of struggles and strife, and it just didn't start with a drug conviction. That, you know, there was an obsession by corrupt police officers. They had the Freeway Ricky Ross Task Force.
Yep, they did. And they did everything they could to take me down as far as planting drugs. And matter of fact, you know, they handcuffed me and tortured me with a dog. They let a dog bite me up while I was handcuffed. Mm-hmm. So it goes way deeper than the surface.
Definitely. You know, and I would like to just interject a little bit and just let people know some things about, you know, COINTELPRO. Now, the FBI and the CIA, the gang, you know, it doesn't change. They just, you know, upgrade it. And, you know, we have a lot of black activists who were subjected to informants and agents. You know, recently it came out about the so-called skillful photographer who was really an FBI agent following Dr. King. You had the bodyguard that followed Malcolm X around was a CIA or FBI informant. You had the so-called homie of Tupac was an informant, you know. So it's not unlikely what's going on, you know.
Well, you know, they always use informants to infiltrate our organizations, and you know that's another form of control to try to keep us in line to where we'll be afraid to really step out because we don't know who to trust. You know, they've been able to buy our people out, I would say.
Right. And see, there are a lot of similarities to this William Roberts II who wants to have an obsession with you. It might be in a sign obsession. You know, a lot of these agents and these infiltrators come in forms of rappers and what have you. You know, they're trained. You have a CIA program. The propaganda program clearly entails that they train people to infiltrate certain things. I just want to read a little excerpt of what was going on with COINTELPRO, you know, and it states that agents and informants didn't just spy on political activists. Their main purpose was to discredit and disrupt the organization. The FBI sent in agents who would join the organization only to spy and gather information or cause chaos and confusion between its members. Meanwhile, the FBI and police exploited the fear of infiltration to smear genuine activism or the agents. And why I read that, because, you know, there are certain times in your life that you try to escape that scenario, that lifestyle, that culture. And there are these agents who follow you, you know, and accosted you and basically entrap you into this criminal behavior. You know, you were a skillful tennis player, different things of that nature, you know. And this person came from a wealthy family, you know, not in this country. His family was wealthy, and they had other connections with the CIA. And actually, there was undercover tapes about that, you know.
Right. He was the minister of agriculture from his country, and his family was one of the biggest landowners in Managua.
Right. One of the old sayings is that familiarization breeds comfort, that you get so familiar with someone, you're comfortable, you know. And during your trial, you know, or during that time, you were surprised, right, to find out that this man was a CIA informant because you were very close with him. You even consider him a friend.
Right. Well, you know what? I guess, and that's how he was able to speak our language. You know, it's rare when you find somebody that, you know, that's from another country or from another race, but they relate to things that you're going through. And I think part of that is because they profiled us and they know the way we think, you know, the things that we like, the places we like to go, and they make these guys fit those modes.
This is the only so-called known foreigner who committed a criminal offense and was not deported. They claim they don't know where he's at. But they
no, he got a green card. They gave him a green card after he got convicted.
Yeah, he was not deported at all.
No, he wasn't.
Unknown.
They gave him something that only two people in the country can give away, and that's the president and the attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to get it after selling, I think they say, 10 tons of cocaine. At least they knew that he sold 10 tons.
But see, like you know, when they want to do what they want to do, that's why I was doing another show called About America. You know, America is a false place. There is no such thing as America except the illusion. This is North America. But the illusion of America is that they do what they want to do. They don't follow the North America rules, you know. And just like here, there's a Ugandan immigrant who is a rapist, and he got a card, you know. But
they say he was a bigamist, too. Not only a racist, but a bigot.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's really something, because this individual, he got school in here. This man, Daniel Blandon, you know,
right.
He received a master's degree in this country and different things of that nature. So he at the same time, he was a full-time informant.
Right.
You know, a full-time informant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So he was all the time. I mean, they groomed him. They had him to do, it was a job that they needed. And he was groomed to take care of that job.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that's very important, because that goes back to this imitation Rick Ross that's playing this role. You know, there's a mass manipulation through the music. You have rappers who say they're gangsters who were raised in Detroit but really was born in Kansas, you know, rappers who portray certain roles, but they're groomed to portray that, you know. And this man William Roberts was a correctional officer. there is no similarities with you and him at all. You were never, ever a correctional officer, were you?
No, never, never.
Yeah, and this man has no criminal
record. Never wanted to be. I mean, you know, it takes a certain type of mentality to lock a person in a cage and, you know, do the things that correctional officers do to convicts. You know, some of them treat us really bad, and they look down on us as if we're beneath them.
He even took the oath to shoot inmates. You know, he took an oath of a code of silence as well. You know, he criminal justice. He studied these things, you know. He has no arrest record, no history of an arrest record whatsoever. So, you know, there are some serious issues going on with this rapper who's portraying his role. And if you look at it, this is the only entertainment in which there's a glamorization of drugs and violence. You don't see that in country music or what have you because they're not allowed to portray them roles. So actually, what's going on is the rap game is being infiltrated to bring us down, you know, especially the youth, you know. And so this man is taking your image, a section of your life, and refuses to acknowledge the things you're trying to achieve, you know.
Right.
Change man with a change plan. You know, he refuses to acknowledge that. And in my opinion, it's by intent. You know, it's definitely by intent.
He definitely doesn't have the interests of our people in mind because he's never, you know, contacted me about coming out, talking to kids, and letting them know that what he raps about is all fake. And it's not reality. It's make believe. It's a fantasy. I've never, you know, heard him stepping out saying that, or saying that he is not really who he is. You know, not one time on TV has he acknowledged me, you know, in any of the songs. So he's been trying to hide the fact of who he really is from day one.
He never acknowledged you. Yet he repeatedly has tried to trademark your name.
Exactly.
Six times
he's tried to trademark my name and, you know, just do other little things to make me look like I'm the bad guy, you know, for suing him for stop using my name. But, you know, a lot of times people confuse us. You know, when I go to school sometimes and talk, the principals will say, well, aren't you the guy who raps about, you know, degrading women and selling drugs and, you know, and all these other things that goes along with the type of music that he does.
Also, Rick, one of the things that impressed me about you was even though you were pulled into that culture, no one ever heard anything about you disrespecting women, abusing women, selling to children. You know, you actually was like the pawn, but you did it in a business manner. You know, it wasn't very disrespectful to your community. You know, even the drugs are wrong or what have you. You were very young, but at the same time, you had a decor about you, you know, that's definitely lacking now with a lot of people.
Well, you know what? Even though I sold drugs, I still had my sense of connecting, you know, with the people in the streets, with the people who didn't have, with the people who used drugs. You know, you have to have some type of connection with the people. If not, then it's like you're out here all by yourself, you know, and I never lost that connection, even though, like you said, I was selling drugs. And I came to my senses when I was selling drugs. I started to wake up and see that I was really tearing my people down instead of uplifting them, which is what I thought when I started selling drugs. See, when I started selling drugs, it wasn't no crack mamas. You know, you didn't see women on the street selling their bodies to get high. It was more like a Hollywood event, and this is the way they played it, you know. And I believe that the government planted some of these movies and stuff on us to really make us think that cocaine was cool.
Right.
You know, it's like right now, you know, they got everybody thinking that ecstasy and weed and smoking PCP and all these other drugs are cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the tool that's being used. See, it's not a war on drugs. The war is the drugs, you know.
Right.
That's the thing. It's a chemical warfare and a weapon is being intentionally used. Now, you know, during your prosecution, the CIA wasn't put on trial, right? They weren't charged.
Oh, no. And you know, I mean, there was stuff that was said in court that was like, we're not here to analyze if the CIA had anything to do with this, and we don't care if the CIA gave you the drugs. What we do care about is that you sold drugs, and if you sold drugs, even if it came from the government, it doesn't give you a pass.
Now,
but it gave Danilo Blandone and you know, guys like Oliver North and President Bush and President Reagan, you know, all those guys got passes.
See, there's no such thing as the ends justify the means. The government cannot be lawbreakers and justify that by a criminal conviction, according to North America, you know. But in America, it's a different thing. And the reason why I asked you about that is because I stated earlier that the CIA and the National Security Council get their orders directly from the president. They cannot make any moves without the permission and the okay of the president. You know, and again, during that time was Ronald Wilson Reagan. You know,
right. Oliver North took the fall for that, and he said that everything stopped at him. And then, you know, after he took the fall, they gave him a presidential pardon and cleared his record. So as of right now, you know, he doesn't have a conviction and never did a day in jail.
Yeah, but you are you were a poor young black man, you know, and
poor, uneducated.
Right, and everyone that played a role in that surrounding you had at least a master's degree.
Oh,
you know?
Definitely, and all had political
pulling
tie-ins.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know. But you're looked at as the drug kingpin. You're looked at as the person who was trafficking this and what have you. And yet, you have a immigrant who committed a crime, and he was given over $45,000 for participating in setting you up. He was given over $45,000.
I think that was the initial payment. I think the whole thing came up to like
$180,000.
Mm-hmm. When it was
and
all said and done.
Working with the DEA. And why I say that, when they say it's unknown where he is, they know where he's at. He's in another neighborhood. He's in another neighborhood accosting another young tennis player, you know, who could have been, should have been, or would have been a tennis player. He's somewhere manipulating the community. You know, he's assigned to do that. His full-time employment is to destroy and manipulate the community. You know, I'm going to read you all something that you might not know about, but this is a fact, and you can fact-check it. I always tell people, don't just believe whatever is said to you, fact-check it. And the director of the Central Intelligence is a fact. They can secretly spend whatever portion of the CIA budget he determines necessary, with no other accounting than his own, other than his signature. These expenditures are free from review by Congress or the General Accounting Office. So in theory, no one can even find out about these funds. This is taxpayer money. You know, this is money being used to maybe create a rapper, you know, create a rap label. You know, one of the things was like Death Row. Death Row had numerous of police officers involved in that. You know, they were purposely employed in that. And at the same time, during the assassination of Tupac, the same officer he had a problem with in the past was the same one that was on the scene. You know, but a lot of people think Tupac was just a rapper, but Tupac was an activist before he became a rapper. And he took that rap game and was trying to teach and educate the people about a lot of different things, open up their minds. And what a lot of these record labels did was refuse to put out the positive songs and put the songs out that look like a little more negative, you know. And like I said, you don't see that being done in country music. I was just recently told, you know, that Snoop Dogg was denied putting two white women on Dog Chain on his album. That's what I was told by a third party. You know, and why? Because they're imagery. See, imagery plays a lot. They don't want that image. But black women, they can put them on leeches, chains, in a dog cage, anything. Because that's the norm according to what society wants to see. You know, and
right.
It's done with intent.
Right. And they're also pumping up this type of rap music, you know, with guys that's faking the funk, and that stops the guys that does the positive music, the uplifting music, and the educational music. It stops them from having a chance to get out there. So it serves purposes on a lot of levels because, you know, at one time, rap music had us moving.
That's
not
right.
Sitting around, you know, going backwards. Because right now, I feel that our generations are going backwards right now. We're not making progress anymore.
Definitely. You know, I think, Rick, that this imitation person is really a tool because you're doing something that they did not think you do. You're turning yourself around. You know, you're trying to pick up the pieces and show people that there are downfalls to this game. You know, there are reasons why the risks outweigh the reward. You know, and this pawn that has this outfit on and these glasses and what have you, you know, when he went to court, he wasn't looking like that. He looked more like the correctional officer, you know.
Right. Well, that's who he really is. I mean, when he's rapping, he's playing a role. I mean, he's mimicking himself after me. You know, he feels because he tattooed my name on his hands, does that make him me? But that's not nowhere near the case. You know, he has to go and sit in prison for 20 years, and I guarantee you he don't want to do that because he know what it's like, you know, slamming those doors in people's face, you know, and tell them that their visit is over. So he doesn't want to do that. But at the same time, he wants to stand and rap about it, which is really a lie because he don't know the story.
Right. You know, and it's a lot of youth that look up to you. It's a lot of people that are aware of this imitation that's going on. But he's doing it with almost like a intent, in a signed intent. You know, but some of the things that you're doing, he has not even attempted to do or to imitate you in the positive light.
But he can't go back to the community because he's not from the community, and the community won't accept him. You know. You know, most people, they don't want fake. When you find out, you know, you go buy a pair of jeans and they got a name on there and you find out that the name is a fake, you know, most people don't want it. They'll go back and get their money back.
Right.
And that's the same thing.
Oh, go ahead. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, I was going to say that you also have a website, freewayenterprise.com. In which, you know, you're gaining a lot of people that are joining your website on a daily basis, you know, not this imitation person, but it's causing confusion, you know, which is part of a trademark infringement violation. And you know, what do you feel about that? How do you feel you're trying to get your website established? You're trying to do speaking engagement? Mm-hmm. And some people think you live this life that this counterfeit individual is playing.
Well, I feel that the first thing, that it's definitely a lot of confusion, you know, because when I go to the schools, you know, people saying, well, you ain't fat. Do you rap? And you know, just stuff like that there. So it's definitely a confusion. But I built my website because I felt that we needed somewhere where we can have a platform to where our people can put their music out without depending on the powers that be, you know, the people that basically run this country. They're only letting us say what they want us to say. You know, you can't come out and put out an album that makes sense. You know, they don't want us to make sense. They want us to be buffoons, you know, like they always have. You know, they're the ones that gave us Amos and Andy. And they continue to want us to play in these type of roles where we don't have any smarts. That's why they didn't want to do my movie. That's why I had to do my movie independently, because they wanted me to do my movie like I was an idiot. And
mm-hmm.
by no means of imagination was I ever an idiot. Even when I couldn't read or write, I didn't consider myself an idiot. I
mm-hmm.
considered myself a person that could think, that could make decisions, and had the best interest for my whole community. And that's why I built this website. And he could never do anything like that because he doesn't have the mentality to think about his people. You know, that's why he could steal my name and not have the courtesy to contact me and ask me, is it cool? Or, you know, when I was in prison, not have the courtesy to know that after he had made all this money off my name, because I think when I was in prison, they was paying him like $40,000, $30,000 a show, and he didn't have the decency to say, you know what, I'm going to send this guy $1,000 or $2,000 while he's sitting in prison just to show some respect to...
Even actors, Rick, when actors play roles, they go to the source and ask them about their lifestyle and try to actually emulate that. He never even contacted you. As an entertainer, he never came to the person and even you.
Right. He just read books and magazines and newspapers. And you know, I feel that even some of his records that he put out and stuff that I quoted in articles, and then he turned around and turned them into music.
Oh, definitely. He's imitation, you know. And I say that by design, with intent. You know, like you said, you taught yourself how to read and write. Actually, that are some of the reasons why you're free now, because you went to educate yourself about certain things that were wrong in your case, you know.
Exactly. I had to. If I wouldn't have did that, I would still be in prison right now today.
Yeah. So, you know, there's nothing, no similarities at all. So he's false advertising, you know, and he's doing it deceitfully, you know, and in bad faith. But I think it's a little bit deeper. I think it's to also manipulate the future, you know, and hoping that those who want to be a Rick Ross think that that's the only lifestyle. And, you know, like you said, there was nothing, you never ever was happy with that lifestyle. And you actually gave back. You even tried to run and escape that lifestyle. And I think that's very important, and that's not being talked about. What's not being talked about is the fact that you really, really, really were a pawn in that, you know?
Right, right.
You stated in the past that you sat in jail, in prison, so many years wondering how you got there, because it was never your intent to be in the place that you sat in.
No. And that's why it's so ironic that a guy like him, who had the good life but wanted to portray the bad life, and the guys who were actually doing the bad wanted to be good. You know, it's like a reversal. You know what I'm saying? If you understand, we didn't really, you know, I never wanted to have to sell drugs and never wanted to be out in the streets to where, you know, I had to carry guns or have the potential of having to kill somebody or be killed. You know, this was something that I felt I was trapped into.
Mm-hmm. You know, just looking back on the sagas of your life, you know, the corruption of these deputies, they were so obsessed with you that they actually try to plant drugs on you. They actually try to set up false crime scenes, you know.
They did plant drugs on me.
Mm-hmm. And several times you beat those charges. And yet,
I did.
You know, he comes out with Teflon Don. Now, Gotti's family thought he was talking about, you know, their family, and they had a problem with that. But actually, my opinion is that he's trying to say that, you know, he's beating things. This man never, ever had a charge whatsoever, you know.
You know, that's so funny that he would say he sold all those drugs and mm-hmm. never caught a case and never been arrested and you know, never even been on the radar, you know, because if you sell drugs, the police have a chart.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is when they hear names in the streets and it keeps circulating from their informants, then they put this chart together so that they'll know who's the highest person on the chart to take down.
You know, Rick, when he passed the criminal background check, and there was a deposition that was done, and this detective had to admit that William Roberts II has no gang affiliation, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, like the song said, the intro, the gangs don't change, you know?
Yeah.
So,
the cop said, when the judge asked him, well, where did you get this information from? He said, I got it from his record. Because, you know, they charged him with being a gang member and selling drugs. And when they questioned the cop about it, the cop had to admit that he just got the charges off of William Roberts' album.
You know, we also talked about there is a website called who's a rat.com. This is a real website. You know, and it has thousands of informers and agents, but you have to pay to join. And on that site, it talks about the custom snitches, the iced out snitches, you know, the iced out informers, you know, how they're so laced and how they're so together. You have no idea they're that way. And even in the gang, every gang has informers in there, you know, so it's nothing to do but the right thing because no one's going to beat the house, you know. A lot of them are deep in the game and like Park said, have the rules missing. So you have these young up and coming and you have a person that's portraying a role and they're intentionally making these people think this is a lifestyle. It's not a lifestyle, you know. It's a culture that you never looked for that culture. You was actually put in it. And during all that time, you tried to escape it, you know. And this is the thing people don't want to know, you know. They don't want to know that you sat in prison and read over 300 books. You know, they
brought this culture to our communities. You know, our communities wasn't with this stuff. They brought that to us.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know if Rick Ross would even build a theater. You open up a movie theater. You know, I think he would get a tummy tuck before he get a theater up. You know, I think that it's deplorable that he plays this role and that he refuses to even acknowledge you in your reality because his role is definitely rehearsed, you know, but you have a reality. Nothing scripted about what happened. You actually lived the life, and you lived it more detrimentally than he's even portraying. You know, he portrays the role. It's lights, camera, action. Then he can stop, cut, edit, and what have you. You weren't afforded none of those things, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, him acknowledging me would be like shooting himself in the foot. You know, he's portrayed this role for so long, and he has people thinking that that's really him.
Mm-hmm.
And if people find out that it's not him, you know, he don't know what it would be to his career.
Mm-hmm. And I read some of the parts of your appeal. You are appealing that decision, right? That was
absolutely. I think that the judge was grossly wrong. He didn't show where we didn't have merits to the name. So I think that I stand a great chance. You know, before I didn't take an active role in fighting my case,
mm-hmm.
but I got a friend who brought me up on that and checked me real thorough, and now I'm actively involved. I'll be reading everything that comes through the pipeline now about my case, and I've taken it on. They made me take it on as a personal challenge, partially because of the way he was running his mouth on the internet and telling people how he had beat me and had knocked me down, and you know, and you know, I was around when heavyweight fights went 15 rounds. So, you know, just because you win one round don't mean that it's over. You may win the first 5 rounds or the first 10 rounds, but it's not over until the bell rings. So I'm still fighting. I definitely plan on going all the way with this here, and I'm not going to let him off the hook, even more so now. Now I've taken it as a personal challenge, you know, almost as if he's saying that you can't beat me. You know, I'm going to take your name. I'm going to get rich off of it. And then you ain't gonna do nothing about it. So I've taken it on as a personal challenge now.
Like you say, he's hating like a city cop, you know.
Exactly. Well, you know, me and the cops, we never really got along no way, you know, because I grew up in the era with the Black Panthers and us, and I watched how the cops treated them, you know. They always handcuffed them. When they got them in handcuffs, they put them billy clubs on them. And, you know, that's the same way they treated me. You know, I was handcuffed, let the dogs bite me. I was beaten in the head with flashlights and nightsticks by 6 cops that was always over 6 feet tall, all weighed over 230 pounds,
mm-hmm.
and kicked, and it was just, you know, it was just trouble. So, you know, I'm used to that. And he fits the same category. You know, he's a cop at heart. You know what I'm saying? He's going to always be a cop. And he's going to do what cops do, and their job is to take advantage of me in any way they can.
Right, and he's never disavowed that oath. He took that oath, you know, of silence, of secrecy, you know, and he's doing actually what crooked cops do. they violate you and then try to get away with that violation. You know, like I said, John Gotti's grandson said the same thing that you said, that, you know, he said, you know, when he used that Teflon Don, his grandson said, you know, my grandfather paid his dues for that nickname. That was my grandfather's life, you know. And even so, like I said, there's some, a lot of things with that Teflon Don I think he's trying to imitate you again about. But John Gotti's grandson was talking about how his grandfather was acquitted and then ended up being convicted. But you also were acquitted and ended up being convicted. But at the same time, you were acquitted through the corruptions of police officers, you know. And I think that it's a real disservice that you have this individual who refuses to acknowledge you, you know, and refuses to do any of the positive things that you are doing. I think that you're more noble and have a lot of character about you that people don't want to know about, or people refuse to see, and they only refuse that as a prophet, but the community is aware of that. You know, you were a DJ, you had a record company, you did a number of different things for your community. I don't even think that this imitation Ross even walked through the communities in which you grew up in, lived in, struggled, were convicted, you know, violated or what have you. He might have seen film scripts or something, you know, clips.
Yeah, well, you know, he can't go in the community because the dudes from the street don't care for him. You know, they don't want nobody out perpetrating their struggle. Because, you know, when a lot of people think that people like me because I sold drugs, but that's not the case. The people like me because they know my struggle. My struggle is their struggle, and they can identify to that. You know, most people from the ghetto and from black communities, they know how hopeless it seems in our communities. And he's never been in that position. You know, he was able to go down to the police station, pass the test. You know, most of us have convictions by the time we were 12 and 13 years old, or definitely been inside a police car and have some type of rap sheet to where, you know, they'll say, well, you know what, this guy's been convicted and we're not going to mess with him. Mm-hmm. He won't pass the test. So, you know, it takes a rare person to be able to pass that test.
This man couldn't even play the role of Elvis Presley. Tomorrow he can't say William Roberts II, now known as Elvis Presley. They would not have that because Elvis Presley is a famous trademark name. Just like Ricky Ross, Rick Ross, the real Rick Ross, is a famous trademark name. You can't go steal the trademark of McDonald's. You can't do this and that. You never ever got your day in court. The case was not heard on the merits, as you said, you know. He sits around and is comfortable thinking that you wouldn't fight back. You know, so obviously he's not aware of the character of you, because even through your incarceration, you still fought. You know, and
I had to go through the appeal process to win my release. You know, I didn't win it at the district level. It's funny about district court judges. They're more government oriented. You know, this shows even more of the way that he could be a government plant.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and that's why I was saying about the CIA. You know, there's something else that I can let the listeners and yourself as well. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they have these propaganda programs, white, gray, and black. And the white propaganda program is openly acknowledged. It's coming from the government. The gray propaganda program is third parties who have to get consent from the government to use propaganda against the people. And the black propaganda program is completely a program that's supposed to be non-existent, that you're not supposed to know about. It disseminates false material attributed to a real source like you, a false material being the rapper, the real source being you, you know. And these are to disenfranchise people from obtaining a better lifestyle, better knowledge. Just imagine if people knew, you know, the real life and struggle of you. Can you honestly say, anybody, you know, I know I have callers on the line as well, and a lot of people are in the chat room and are saying hi to you and, you know, definitely giving you props and different things of that nature. But, you know, I wanted to say it's no way that Rick Ross, the imitation, would have came this far under the name of William Roberts II, a correctional officer. you know.
And you know what? It's crazy because when guys go into the drug business, they go into it to make a name for themselves, to create. It's like he's cheating the whole purpose of he don't even understand the drug business, because we go into drug business because we feel that we're not successful in anything else, so we turn to drugs to be successful, to get our families out of the ghetto, and he doesn't understand anything about that. That's like totally
right. That's why that song said it. You don't know nothing about powder. A coward.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
He studied. He doesn't know what's really going on. You know, a lot of people don't even know that the cocaine that's out here, there are charts. But America is not listed on this chart. You can get it from a lot of different countries. And the charts clearly show that 50% of the product is not even the actual chemical. You know? There's also L-cocaine, D-cocaine. One of them is legal to possess. And I think the one that's legal to possess is the one that's being planted on people. You know, a lot of people don't know that crack cocaine itself and crack freebase is not on the drug schedule, not at all. You know, and to be an illegal drug, it has to be on the drug schedule. It's like propofol is not on the drug schedule, so that doctor couldn't get charged for Michael Jackson's death. But a generic name, cocaine, does not suffice. There's chemicals, there's elements, there's things, degrees that need to be necessary, you know. So, and for a new drug to be put on the drug schedule, it has to go through the U.S. Attorney General and a number of protocols, and it hasn't. So a lot of people aren't aware of the seriousness of this chemical that's being, you know, perpetrated on the people, you know.
Right.
And if you keep saying that, we keep saying that the CIA is corrupt, the CIA is corrupt, but the CIA isn't a private entity. It's a part of the government, and it has to get permission from somebody. When do we hold these officials accountable? Why aren't they being charged? If the government really wanted to clean this up, they would dismantle the corruption of the CIA and start anew. But, you know,
but as long as this keeps happening in our communities, they're not going to clean it up. It's going to be up to us to clean up our own communities and to police ourselves. You know, we can't let somebody else do for us what we should be doing for ourselves.
It's not an epidemic in the Asian community. It's not an epidemic in the Arab community. I'm saying the community that lives in this country, but it's an epidemic in our community. You know, so what's the problem? Why is it not working for us and it's working for them? No matter who's in office, no matter who's elected, who's not elected, you know, their situation doesn't become as dire as ours. So it's something mm-hmm. that we have to look at again with the rap game. Rap used to have knowledge in it. Rap used to teach us to tell a story. You know, I remember growing up hearing a song, "We're All in the Same Game." You know, when these rappers got together, encouraging people not to sell drugs and the game and the lifestyle. You know, and it talks about the crookedness behind what's going on and what have you. I remember positive music I used to hear. The stuff now is very scary, and it's done by intent. You would never, ever see the society allowing country music to talk about gang banging. They don't even wear their pants sagging. You know, they're not the people that own these record companies and labels in which all the artists are on, they're not even having their pants sagging. They're not getting all these tattoos. You know, they're not beefing with each other. You know, so what does that say? You know?
Yeah, it definitely says a lot about the way they feel about us. I mean, even look at Katrina, how they left us out to dry in the Katrina catastrophe. I mean, but if we go back in history, I mean, there's just so many times that the government has neglected the black community. I mean, you know, with the Tuskegee experiment, when they deliberately gave all these black men syphilis and gonorrhea to mm-hmm. see what was the effect on people that caught gonorrhea, and they had cures for this disease.
Yeah.
And then they paid these men well, you know, well enough where these guys would be able to drive Cadillacs and dress in nice clothes and go out to the finest of restaurants, you know, I mean, almost like the drug game. I mean, if you look at it, you keep seeing this pattern. Like right now, they let all of these young black guys, you know, dress up in the rap game. You know, they wear the nice clothes, and they knowing that if a man becomes successful in these fields, they're going to attract women, and this will enable them to do whatever they want to in our communities. You know, that's why AIDS is running so rapidly right now.
Definitely. You know, but at the same time, while you saying that, we're taking our eye off the ball because we're allowing these people come in here with these flashy glasses and say that they had a drug life, that they escaped, and then they promote it. And that stops us from seeing the real, you know, not holding these entertainers accountable, you know.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rick, like I said, a wise man changes and a fool stays the same. So we see who's changing and who refuses to even attempt to change what he's doing. You know, you're going in the right path. And, you know, I just think that a lot of people admire you, like you said, not just because of your struggle, but because of what you've learned from them, what you're taking from them, what you're sharing from them. And the people are interested in the real Rick Ross. You know,
I totally agree. I think so too, and I think that with my experience, that I'm perfectly suited for the job that our community need right now, because there's nobody that can teach us the things that we need that haven't been through it. You know, if you want somebody to correct the problem, it has to be somebody that has been inside the problem. You know, you can't get somebody that has just read up on the story, and then he thinks that he knows what's going on. That's not the way that it works.
So, do you plan on what are your plans? You know, and I doubt that the imitation Rick Rock is going to take notes on this. But for those who care to know, you know, and there's a lot of people who really are down with you. You know,
well, my plan is to teach our children how intelligent they are, that they are the creators of civilization. You know, the black man and woman is the creator of civilization. We started all this. Everything that happens come from us. Most of the ideas in this country come from us. You know, when they went over to Africa and kidnapped the slaves, they picked the smartest and the brightest and the strongest over there. You know, so black Americans are a rare form of human being. I mean, we're the most intelligent humans on the planet. But even if you are intelligent, but if somebody trick you in believing that you are a hoe, a bitch, a gangster, a drug dealer, then you start to live out these images of yourself. And that's what we see ourselves in right now in America, where we're living out these images that somebody else has saw for us or somebody else believes who we are. So my goal is to show them that I've been up through all that. I lived it. You know, I was illiterate. I didn't think I was nobody. I didn't think that I could be anybody. And now our children are going to get to see me rebuild myself. And I
right.
think that will give them the confidence to know that they can do the same thing. So that's why it's so important to me to be successful in legit business right now. And also to claim my name so this guy will stop preaching this foolishness.
Definitely. And you know, it's already yours. You just want to stop him from this obsession he has with you. An adult male with a sick obsession. You know, that's what it boils down to. You know,
He's a stalker.
Definitely. You know.
And I thank you for having me on the show. It's been wonderful being here with you.
Yes, definitely. Can you take one call? It's callers on here. I just want to get one caller in. You
okay,
know,
go ahead.
Let me see. Caller 111?
Yes, hello?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, Mr. Ross?
I'm good, and you?
I'm good. I'm pretty good, too. I'm blessed. Yeah, it's a shame, you know, that this guy you know, assassinating and defamation of your character, you know, downgrading your name like that, you know. And you will beat it, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Jesus died for our sins, you know, so we go through things, like you said, we got to rebuild ourselves. We got to be re-brainwashed, you know what I'm saying? And you're doing a beautiful, perfect job of that, man, you know. I just commend you to the utmost, you know what I'm saying? I know God with you, so I know you're going to succeed. You know, I'm trying to succeed as well, you know,
appreciate
and see the light in a better way. Yeah, it's good.
Appreciate
I appreciate you too, man. I appreciate you too, because, you know, you strength for me too, man. I, you know, when I was a little bit younger, I happened to catch a little documentary about you, you know. You know, it was
right.
Kind of like, it was kind of like, you know, a glamorous kind of thing too. You know, like you say, till you really learn the truth. You know, we all blinded. Like you say, we got to do some soul searching, you know. And we got to, you know,
yeah.
We got to search. We got to be hungry for it, you know. We got to, like you say, be strong enough to, you know, get up and do something. Like you say, stop looking for others to do what we need to do for ourselves, you know. So,
absolutely.
You there, man. Hopefully I can, you know, get up with you someday, man, meet you, you know, conversate with you a little bit more in person, you know. You know, I ain't really
okay.
Too much of a phone person too much, but, you know.
We'll try to make that happen. You know, you can email me on freewayenterprise.com. And,
yeah, definitely.
By the way.
I got you.
Yeah,
I can definitely do that.
Yeah, it's
okay,
freewayenterprise.com. That's his own personal webpage, and he's on there. I don't think that the imitation Rick Ross has the guts or audacity to imitate that, you know. Or to even try to join, you know. So, but it is a confusion with it because he's everywhere. It's like, you know, a reoccurring nightmare, you know.
He has the power to be behind him. He has the big wheel, you know, pushing him. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be in your favor.
Now, Goliath was slain with his own weapon, you know. So it doesn't matter how big they are at times because the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know,
no.
So you have the law on your side. You just got to be enforced.
Okay.
And
well, I'm gonna do my best to enforce it.
Yeah, definitely.
I promise you that.
Yeah.
I'm going all out. This is all our war.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate you for coming, and that I hope that in the near future or what have you, whatever goes on, that you update us, and you know, you have a open door policy if you ever want to come on and talk about anything, you know.
All right, and if you ever need me, I'll be there. And when you run for office this time, I'm there. You know what
sure.
I'm saying? All you gotta do is let me know when you're running. I'm on deck. All you gotta do is holler, and
yeah.
I'll be there.
I appreciate it. I thank everyone for coming, and this is the real Rick Ross. The boss, you know, you're the boss of your own lifestyle. No one is rehearsing this. No one is telling you cut, script, what have you, you know. And do you have any final words you would like to say?
Yeah, just tell everybody, you know, y'all keep your head up. Remember, you are great. You can be whoever you want to be. Don't let nobody dictate to you what you can and can't do. You are the master of yourself. One love.
Everyone have a good evening. Take care.
Peace.